anybody who's watching on the webcams knows what we mean by distraction. Just the juggling of people as we switch guests every single time. And the fact that Mike can't stand that our webcams went offline. He keeps trying to jump over and turn them back on. I think you finally succeeded.
Well, yesterday, I'm hoping for a repeat of what happened yesterday. So there's this display in the studio that shows all the webcams. And somebody was at the green dot camera, literally like above or around the green dot camera. And he had a little foam core model of a four-engine airplane hanging on the end of what looked like a fishing rod. And he or she was like bobbing this airplane inches in front of the lens of the webcam. And as I'm looking at a guest, I'm looking right past them and seeing this thing. And I started laughing at a guest very inappropriately yesterday. So now that I've told you, if I start laughing, you'll know that the perpetrator on the green dot camera is back again. Our guest this quarter hour is Jeremy DeRousseau, who is EAA's Director of Flight Proficiency Programs, and he oversees the shiny new, grand opened Pilot Proficiency Center. It's a collection of flight instructors and simulators that are set up for pilots to test their skills in a range of real-world scenarios. It has been a part of AirVenture for years, but this year you've got your nice shiny new building across the grounds in its now permanent location alongside the EAA Museum. Jeremy, welcome.
Glad to be here. This is awesome. Thanks for having me.
It's been a big week or two for you.
Yeah, that's an understatement. Yeah. It's been amazing. And the turnout and the volunteers and the effort is just only in Oshkosh. That's all I can say. I think the best way to sum that up.
You have quite the show going on over there. Everybody was nervous that you moved to the museum. How are they going to find you? But I'm not seeing that happening.
No, not at all. In fact, I got up here about 6:30 this morning, and there was a mob outside the door already. And a check-in started at 7:30. So they beat the catering. So,
oh, that's always challenging.
I know, exactly, right? So it was like, oh, okay. So my crew didn't even get to coffee up. They just came right in and just started checking people in. We had quite a turnout.
Now, it's an appointment-only system this
year.
Can you explain it?
Sure. So what we've done is at the old Four Corners location and the programming that was there, it was more come on in, we'll sit down, we'll talk with you, we'll get your experience, what's happened, what have you done recently. And we had a portfolio of scenarios to choose from. So that individual, an instructor, would sit with them and say, you know what, I think this scenario for IFR is probably going to be the best thing for you. So they turn around and then they go do their activity and then they would exit. And we did probably a little over 2,000 people during the week in that location because it survived on walk-by traffic because everybody walked by. And some people, you know, there was still a lineup for that too. And so what we've done now is we were challenged, and the challenge was if EAA came to the team, and I'm talking to the team, the pilot proficiency committee, the volunteers that put time and effort to put this together in 7-8 years ago and said, we've got this new facility like this, what would you do? And by the way, that was the middle of February.
A little late.
We completely pivoted, 100% pivot. And what it did was it turned into a clinic, a half-day clinic. So there's a huge commitment to come up there for 5 hours. So we feed you. And I think Joe Brown said it best. It's a socialization on-ramp. You know, now you're with your peers. IFR is a big thing for you, or backcountry flying, or stick and rudder, you know, that type of stuff. I'm really into this. And now you're socializing. You're making friends. You're with it. It's not just about you as an individual and your skill set. It's about being part of something that you want to participate in, not about what you think you need. And the turnout's been phenomenal, even with the registration process. Sunday, I think, the last time I checked. For the pilot flying positions, we had over 460 people on the wait list just trying to get in.
Wow. So
yeah.
Walk-ins week of that probably aren't going to happen. Is that right?
No, it is, believe it or not. We've had some folks not come in, But a lot of folks on the reservation list, or the standby list, in fact, there were a bunch of folks on the pilot non-flying reservation standby list that came in this morning, and we pumped an additional 30 people in that just wanted to sit in on the breakouts. They were okay with not being able to get a session in the sim, but...
That's exciting, because that says to me your breakouts are sessions that are worthy all on its own.
Absolutely. Yep. It was fantastic. Phenomenal.
Now, let's talk about your volunteers. These are some high-end volunteers.
Oh, yes. This is not – we've got some newer folks that are coming in, but we've got some of the folks that are instructors particularly have been here 8-9 years. Doing this repetitively year after year. We've got, you know, National Flight Instructors of the Year. We got Regional Flight Instructors of the Year, you know, for multiple years. So it's a really high quality bunch to come in.
And when you say instructor, you're talking a real CFI instructor.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, okay. This is loggable time.
Wings credit, everything.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. If you're just joining us, we're talking to Jeremy DeRousseau, who is EAA's director of the of flight proficiency programs and oversees the new pilot proficiency center next to the museum building. So I know that there were some concerns about being off four corners might result in less demand. You said that is really not at all happened.
No, and we, because the pilot proficiency center at four corners thrived on walk-by traffic, moving it that far away on the grounds, of course, was a huge concern in the beginning when we started to make the adjustment in programming. In fact, it was quite a discussion point for quite a while of how are we going to get folks there. Even after we pivoted to the new model, it was still a concern of, okay, now we're not trying to put a model together where we have to transport 2,000 people up to the museum and the new proficiency center. But even though folks are committing for half a day, we still got to get them there. And how do we do that? So it was over-communicate.
Yeah.
That's how we resolved a lot of that. And most folks are just finding their way in. In fact, everybody's finding their way in. It's fantastic. It's the new facility. Everybody wants to come see.
It's the new facility. And let's talk about that, because there is a big plus to permanent installation.
Yes.
Talk about that, if you would, please.
Yeah, so, absolutely. So the exciting part is that I have the job to build out the programming from a year-round perspective. So that training center we'll live and breathe the other 51 weeks out of the year. And so we'll put together a myriad of programming, everything from Sport Pilot Academy all the way down to breakout sessions with the kind of the same scenario that we have, like a clinic with breakouts, and they'll go through and then they'll go into the training devices and they'll practically apply that knowledge and all different things. Wing seminars, I mean, type club coalition type stuff where, you know, folks will come in of a grouping of airplanes and we'll create some exercises and training, and the list goes on and on and on of stuff that we can do down there.
Well, those sims are incredibly flexible.
Yes.
So you can really turn them into whatever aircraft you're trying to create and educate with.
That's exactly right. Yeah. We're super excited about that.
Now, how's the bandwidth in the building as opposed to at Four Corners in years past?
Oh, it's phenomenal. No complaints. Yeah, so it's great so far.
So far, I understand. Until the lights go out, right?
Yeah, right, exactly. Hey, the building's not on fire. We're good.
So if a type club wants to make a trip out of this and get a bunch of people up here, with advance notice, you'll turn all the sims into whatever that type is? Is that how that works?
It's a possibility, yeah, absolutely. Part of it is what we're really looking to do is to not only extend the training aspect throughout the year, but we're trying to also bring along the Only in Oshkosh experience as well. So some of the program that folks will come out for, whether it's paid programming or sponsored programming or whatever it happens to be, some of the programming will be couple of days, maybe a week, up to 3 weeks. It just depends. And those folks will come in and they'll have this behind the scenes museum tours and, you know, Only in Oshkosh type of thing, along with the training that goes along with it. So it's really going to be a special place.
So you're still developing the plan then about how the proficiency center ties into these other things.
Yeah.
Or becomes the centerpiece of new things.
Correct. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. We've got it all architected up, blueprinted out. You're looking at the guy that I'm looking behind me because it's just me.
Okay.
And so I'm a little off target, but we put a lot of effort into this change for the Proficiency Center this year at the show in the new facility. So we wanted to really come out with a bang.
So how did you come to this place? I mean, in terms of prior work experience, flight experience, this is kind of a unique one.
Yeah, so I have a long, long history. I started out in aviation where I wanted to be like the Hackett brothers on Wings, you know, the little 135. I grew up watching the show. I was like, this is me, totally me. This is what I want to do. Then I was going to go the airline route. And I'm like, you know what? I loved the fact of teaching people how to fly. It was amazing. So I stayed on the education side of it. And then I was just had the right place, right time, the right people around me in support. And so I got to do some really big things with building out brand new flight academies, Piper's largest customer for a couple years, and building that out. I was at Jeppesen and then Boeing, and that's where I came from Boeing, where I was working on their pilot development program. So I got to go around the globe and work with airlines and governments, setting up flight training organizations and capabilities for them to grow pilots. So I got a really great global opportunity. And then I came here and I actually interviewed for a different position. And they said, you know what? We got this new thing coming up. You might like that. And we said, sure. I was like, yeah. And then Jack called me that night. And
wow.
He was like, hey, we got that. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's Jack Pelton called me.
That's cool. Jeremy DeRusso, EAA's Director of Flight Proficiency Programs. Thanks. Have a great week. You're listening to EAA Radio.